A significant part of Jesus' ministry was preparing his disciples for the ministry that they were to undertake after he left earth. An important lesson that he tried to get across to them as the importance of having a simple, dependable, and trusting faith in God that is so often spoken as a childlike faith. It's really interesting that Jesus uses children. Children, when they are young, and especially parents, you would know this, having children, they do not have a lot of fear in things. You might have tree climbers in your household. And as adults, as we get older, we become more fearful of those things that we once weren't afraid of. So Jesus was using the example of a child, because as we get older, we like to start depending on ourselves. So as we grow older, we become independent. We tend to complicate things. We seek out our own interests, drift away from the ideas of depending on others, and we lose trust for anyone but ourselves. So if I was to ask you, who would it be in your life that you would most likely trust with yourself? Now, you might have a parent or a spouse or someone you're close with, and you go, yes, I would trust them with my life. But ultimately, who do we really put our trust in? When it comes to who we can rely on, most people like to think of themselves as the person they can most rely on. Yet the Bible tells us that with men, it is impossible. So we really have no hope when it comes to truly depending on ourselves, do we? We do not have hope in depending on ourselves to endure life and the struggles that come with it. Yet the Bible has given us a hope that with God, all things are possible. So you might be thinking to yourself, yes, I rely on myself and I trust in God. But do we really? Or is he, in most cases, a last resort when we have exhausted all other means of help? So as children, most of us probably never ask the question like, where is my next meal coming from? Or will we have enough money for the rent this week? Or does the car have enough fuel? I never remember asking those questions as a child. Why? Because we knew that our parents would look after it. So if there was strife, we could offer up a heartfelt, faith-filled prayer to God, knowing that he would take care of everything. So why would we have such faith as children? Well, because the Bible says so. And as children, we all had a simple, unquestionable faith. The Bible gives us a well-known story of a man who built his life on this childlike faith. And regardless of what happened in his life, he trusted God every step of the way. Now, all being said, this man was still human. He still made mistakes, and there were definitely times that he fell short in his faith. So I'm going to ask you to turn in your Bible to Genesis chapter 15. Now, many of you probably already know this story. This story is about a man, as most of us know, is Abraham. But as we go through this story today, we're going to learn that Abraham had and demonstrated a childlike faith throughout his life. So let us read verses 1 through to 6. Now, after these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision, saying, "Do not be afraid, Abram. I am your shield, your exceedingly great reward." But Abram said, "Lord God, what will you give me, seeing I go childless? And the heir of my house is Eliezer of Damascus." Then Abram said, "Look, you have given me no offspring. Indeed, one born in my house is my heir." And behold, the word of the Lord came to him, saying, "This one shall not be your heir, but one who will come from your own body shall be your heir." Then he brought him outside and said, "Look now toward heaven and count the stars if you are able to number them." And he said to him, "You, so shall your descendants be." And he believed in the Lord, and he accounted it to him for righteousness. What was the promise that God made to Abram? Descendants. God promised Abram descendants. Now, was it through his servants? No. God made it very, very clear that Abram would have children. Now, in this part of the story, we see that Abram didn't ask for details. He didn't ask, well, how am I going to have a child? Right? He didn't question how God was going to accomplish what he promised. Abram simply believed and trusted God. God is calling each and every one of us to do the exact same. Yet, God does not call us to follow and obey him blindly. God will always provide us with reassurance. So fast forward to chapter 17. Now we jump ahead a few years. In this time, some things have happened. You might be aware of the story of Hagar and Ishmael. A very clear indication that at that moment, Abram fell very short in his faith. But did God give up on him? No. And did Abraham give up his faith because he had fallen short? No. He simply got up and tried again. So Genesis 17, we'll read verse 1 to 4 and verse 6. When Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to Abram and said to him, "I am Almighty God, walk before me and be blameless. And I will make my covenant between you, me and you, and will multiply you exceedingly." Then Abram fell on his face, and God talked with him, saying, "As for me, behold, my covenant is with you, and you shall be a father of many nations." Verse 6. "I will make you exceedingly fruitful, and I will make nations of you, and kings shall come from you." We see that God is repeating his promise to Abram. The thing about promises is, as humans, we often have conditions. And when we promise something, depending on the other person's behavior, we can at times remove that promise. But God didn't do that. He had a plan for Abram. And even though there were times where Abram fell and there was doubt, God continued to fulfill his promise in his life. Now, verse 17. In chapter 17, Abram fell on his face and laughed and said in his heart, "Shall a child be born to a man who is 100 years old? And shall Sarah, who is 90 years old, bear a child?" Now, it's very, very easy to have faith in God when things are easy, right? When things are going the way that we expect them to, it's easy to have faith in God. But even though God made this promise to Abraham, there was one slight issue. Abraham was 100 years old. That is very late to be having children, let alone Sarah being 90. Now, that posed a slight difficulty. And that was a real test of faith for Abraham, to the point where he even laughed. He thought it was hilarious. How could God fulfill the promise now? He was too old. But even though the odds seemed against Abraham and Sarah, God continued to reassure them with his promises. How easy it is as children or new believers to trust in God's promises. For some, they have been holding on to these promises for decades. After such a long time, it is easy to let doubt creep in and weaken our faith in God. Or maybe, due to circumstances that you can't control, your faith begins to dwindle. And Satan uses these circumstances as opportunities to rattle your faith one bit at a time until you stop relying on God with a childlike faith. So what happens with Abraham? turn in your Bibles to chapter 21, and we're going to read verse 1 to 3. So Genesis chapter 21, verse 1 to 3 says, "And the Lord visited Sarah as he had said, and the Lord did as Sarah as he had spoken. For Sarah conceived and bore Abraham a son in his old age, at the set time of which God had spoken to him. And Abraham called the name of his son who was born to him, whom Sarah bore to him, Isaac." So many of you probably already know this story. You know what happens, you know the ending. But let us look at the details here. In verse 2, at the end, it clearly states one thing: at the set time at which God had spoken. Now, when God makes his promises, we're like, yes, great, fantastic, this is going to be awesome. And then time passes and we go, hey, God, do you remember that promise you made to me? Like, when's that going to happen? God fulfills his promises in our lives at his time. God will always deliver on his promises, regardless of what we do. And so we can be assured of that. And so though God asks us to trust in him like children, he also knows that it is so easy to become complacent in our relationship with him. So at times, the foundation of our faith will be tested. This is not because God wants to taunt us like Satan does, but God allows tests and trials to come so that we can choose who we will believe and trust in. God wants us to grow in our faith and become strongly rooted and grounded in the truth of his promises. So we've read so far that God has answered Abraham's prayer. He has fulfilled his promise. Praise the Lord. Everything is at peace. Abraham and Sarah were so happy, and praise God for keeping his promise. Isaac was everything to them, and he was the promised son. But Abraham was yet to face the hardest trial. Like many things, having a simple childlike faith is something we need to practice every single day. We often try to have faith in the moment of the trial, but often fall weak under the pressure of hardships. To give an example, when I was a child and I would go to school, we had swings on our playground. And my friend and I, we were very adventurous and we liked to try new things. One of which was doing backflips off these swings. And we did it so well, even down to the point where we could time it perfectly, and not once did we fail. I was probably around 10, 11 at the time. And a few years later, I tried it again. That did not work out so well. And trust me, I'm never doing it again. So just like our faith, we need to practice every single day in order so that we are comfortable when things happen. So just like the break that I took between doing backflips off the swing, if we take a break in having that relationship with God, when something happens that is hard or that we need God's strength for, things don't go so easily. But Abraham, regardless of what was going on, chose to have that daily walk with God. He nurtured his faith by going before God every day and choosing to build that trusting relationship so that when the trials came, he would be ready to trust the Lord. Let's turn to Genesis chapter 22, and we're going to go through the chapter and see what trial God had in store for Abraham. So Genesis chapter 2, we're going to read verse 1 to 6. "Now it came to pass after these things that God tested Abraham, and he said to him, Abraham, and he said, Here I am. Then he said, Take now your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah, and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I shall tell you. So Abraham rose early in the morning and saddled his donkey and took two of his young men with him, and Isaac his son, and he split the wood for the burnt offering and arose and went to the place which God had told him. Now, Abraham was living in a place that surrounded by him, different nations, were living a very different lifestyle to Abraham. If you dig back in history as to what the world looked like, Abraham and his family were very peculiar. Around them were many nations who had idol worship. And as part of their idol worship, they believed in offering sacrifices, human sacrifices. As we read the story of Abraham here and think about the environment that he lived in, can we question God here? Like, why is God asking him to do something that is so horrible that God has completely, said, do not do this? Yet here we see God giving Abraham a very, very clear command: take your only son and offer him as a burnt offering. I don't know about you, but I'd be questioning God a little bit. But do we see Abraham questioning God? No. Abraham obviously trusted God enough to know that God had a bigger plan. So verse 4. Then on the third day, Abraham lifted his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said to his young men, stay here with the donkey, the lad, and I will go yonder and worship, and we will come back to you. So Abraham took the wood off the burnt offering and laid it on Isaac his son, and he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and the two of them went together. Can you imagine the anguish that Abraham would have had? First of all, he gets the command to take his son up the mountain and offer him as the offering, as the burnt offering. Now I can imagine that, first of all, Abraham would have been like, okay, this is odd. I don't know what this is for, but we'll do it anyway. We'll go up the mountain. And it was 3 days' journey. In that time, do you think that Abraham would have had thoughts of doubt? I truly believe that in that time, it is very easy, when God is silent, it's very easy to allow the devil's doubts to come in. Abraham was probably thinking, surely there's something else going on here. Surely there's a bigger plan happening. But God says nothing. Verse 7. But Isaac spoke to Abraham, his father, and said, my father. And he said, here I am, my son. Then he said, look, the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? And Abraham said, my son, God will provide for himself the lamb for a burnt offering. So the two of them went together. At this point, Isaac, as we read in Spirit of Prophecy, that he wasn't actually a young child. Isaac was probably around the age of 18 to 20 at the time. He was a young man. So it would have been very easy for Isaac to start questioning, what are we doing? This would not have been the first time he had seen his father make offerings to God. So with him, he had the wood and the means to make a fire, but this time was different. There was no lamb. But did Isaac question his father? Did he go, like, what's going on here? Like, he understood the process. And so when Abraham says, God will provide a lamb, Isaac ceased to question. Isaac had been raised by his father, who had had a childlike faith. He had learnt to trust God no matter what. As we continue to read in verse 9, then they came to the place of which God had told him. And Abraham built an altar there and placed the wood in order. And he bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar upon the wood. Now, with a show of hands, do we have anyone here between probably the age of 17 to 22? Sort of. How about 15 to 25? Let's make it easy. Okay, so we've got a few people here. Do you think that you would have the strength to get away from your parents if they started to bound you up? Yeah? Well, if you knew what was about to happen, I reckon you would. But does Isaac do that? He doesn't. Isaac is like the lamb brought to the slaughter. He doesn't resist. He just continues to trust. So not only is Isaac trusting in his earthly father, Abraham, but he also continues to trust his heavenly father. He didn't question, what was this for? He didn't say, hey, Dad, why are we doing this? This is what the pagan nations do. He simply believed and trusted that God had a greater plan. So verse 10, it says, and Abraham stretched out his hand and took the knife to slay his son. But the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. So he said, here I am. And he said, do not lay your hand on the lad or do anything to him. For now I know that you fear God, since you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me. Then Abraham lifted his eyes and looked, and there behind him was a ram caught in a thicket by its horns. So Abraham went and took the ram and offered it up for a burnt offering instead of his son. And Abraham called the name of the place, the Lord will provide. As it is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord it shall be provided. Then the angel of the Lord called to Abraham a second time out of heaven and said, by myself I have sworn, says the Lord, because you have done this thing and have not withheld your son, your only son, blessing I will bless you and multiplying I will multiply you. Your descendants as the stars of the heavens and as the sand which is in the seashore. And your descendants shall possess the gates of their enemies. In your seed all the nations of the earth shall be blessed because you have obeyed my voice. Whew, that was getting a little bit scary there for a second. But God wanted to see how far would Abraham go for him. Now, obviously, God does not condone human sacrifices. And yes, Abraham's prophecy came true. God did provide the lamb for the offering. But Abraham and Sarah had wanted this child for so very long. God had promised that he would make a great nation out of Abraham's descendants. So when God put forward this test, how easily would it have been for Abraham to say, no way, right? It would have felt like it was contradicting God's original promise. Yet Abraham trusted God all the way, even when it seemed so contrary to the promise that God had made. Abraham was still willing to give all in obedience to God. And so God blessed Abraham's faith and kept his promise. Can you imagine? We've seen Abraham's perspective. Can you imagine Isaac's? Right to the very knife being hovering over his body. He was this close to death's door. Yet did he move? Did he try and break out of the ties? No. That test of faith would have stuck with Isaac for his entire life. Now, we're not going to cover the story of Isaac today, but I want to appeal especially to the young people in the room. I'm only 24 myself, so I can still relate to you. But having a childlike faith, if you've grown up in the church or you've known, if you've been a Christian your whole life, it's so easy to become complacent. It's so easy to kind of identify yourself with your parents' faith or with the faith that you grew up with as a child. But if anything that I've learnt as I reached adulthood is when we step out into the world in ourselves, we have to start making mature decisions, and decisions such as paying rent and financial decisions and relationship decisions. It's so easy to forget that faith that we had as a child. So I want to say, if God is testing you in some way, he is wanting you to continue to nourish your relationship with him. Because as most of the adults in the room could probably say, it doesn't end there. Life comes with many tests and many trials. So it's important now, and even young children, it's important now to be reading your Bible, praying to God, because that's where it starts. James chapter 1, verse 3 says, "The testing of our faith produces patience." So from the story of Abraham and Isaac, we see two different perspectives of faith. So in order to truly prove that Abraham trusted in God, his faith needed to be tested. Abraham needed to rely on a childlike faith in order to completely surrender to God's plan. But Isaac too exercised faith. His faith was a perfect example of how we need to trust in our Father and be willing to do whatever he asks us, even if it doesn't make sense. So it's really easy to say to ourselves that Abraham was special and God spoke to him directly, and we try to dismiss God's power in our lives by believing the lie that God only talked to people in the Bible. But this is a lie. We often complicate our faith by trying to have faith without the one who gives it. I'd like to share a quote from Testimonies, book 5. It says, "We must die to self and cherish humble, childlike faith. God's people have departed from this simplicity. They have not made God their strength, and they are weak and faint spiritually." As I was growing up, I grew up in a church very similar to this. It was very easy to take on things that were a little bit legalist. I have to read my Bible every day for 1 hour. I have to make sure I pray just a certain way. I have to attend church every single week. Not to say that these things are not important, and I encourage you to do them. But so often, we think our faith is built on things that we do. It's not. Our faith only comes from God, and all he asks us to do is to believe. God didn't give Abraham all the answers. He didn't tell him how many descendants he'd have. He didn't tell him that he had to do very specific things. All he asked him to do was to trust. And God blessed that faith. So I want to say to you, whatever it is that God is impressing for you to do, trust and obey that. It's so easy to get swept up with what other people expect us to do. But the only voice that we should be listening to is our Heavenly Father. So just like Abraham, we all have our stories to tell about how God has worked in our lives. And I want to share with you how my faith started. This was me as a child. I came from a home of a single mum who was not a Christian. But when I was 6 years old, I started to attend a Christian school. It wasn't an Adventist school, I think it was a Baptist school, but they were very diligent in teaching the Bible right at the start. And so as a six-year-old, I'd go to class every day. Before we started all the lessons, we would read the Bible verses, we would pray, we would memorize and sing biblical songs, and I really enjoyed it. I'd never been exposed to these things before, but the Holy Spirit was working in my heart. As I continued to take on these practices, I would come home and I would start to share what I'd learned at school with my mum. Now, my mum was more into New Age beliefs at the time, but she was excited to hear the things that I'd learned, and I'd share the stories, and I would share with her the songs that I had learnt. And over time, she was taking it all on. And then later on, she met a man who is now my stepfather. And as we both got to know him, I quickly figured out that he knew the Bible. And so I would ask him questions and he'd answer the questions and we'd talk about the stories of the Bible. And so in all this time, my mum was listening in the background. This is my family. One day, my mum gave her heart to God. In a secret place. She didn't come out and proclaim it because she was very, very private. But over time, we realized that she was started to talk more about God. And so this was how my family started to learn about God. So as a young 8-9-year-old, learning about the Bible every day at school and in the home, my family started to pray for our other relatives. And a few years later, my grandmother learned about the truth as well. Three generations who had never learned about the Bible before. In 2012, we all got baptized together. My childhood faith had such an impact on myself, on my family, that God was able to use me as a child to influence my family. So kids, you are powerful witnesses, very powerful. And what you learn now will impact the rest of your life. As a child, I learned to trust in God's promises, and they were so easy. Anytime I would have a scare or something would happen, my first impulse was to pray. And even throughout the event, if it was scary or whatever was going on, I just trusted God. It was so easy. But as I grew up, continuing to commit my life to God, Satan knew that it was important to try and steer me off God's track. And so when I hit my teenage years, so many things happened. My grandmother, she passed away. And as my parents and I gathered together, we were focused on doing God's ministry even more so than ever before. And because of that, Satan knew that we would be one of God's greatest weapons. And so, time after time, he used certain things in our lives to try and discourage us. And at times they worked. But throughout it all, like Abraham, we continued to choose God and to trust in him. When I left home, I went and did the Arise program up north and started my life as a Bible worker. And so moving out of home came with its own challenges. I no longer had the direct support of my parents, where I could go to them and ask them anything or let them take care of things. I had to stand on my own two feet, which posed a certain temptation, and that was to rely on myself. As you become an adult, you start thinking about the stresses of life, right? And it's so easy to have that weight, that overwhelming weight and anxiety of how am I going to do this? How am I going to do that? I've got to do this, that. And so it's so easy to lose God in all of that. And even if you still attend church and still read your Bible, sometimes it's just so easy to have God as a last resort. It's so natural to just worry about my life and try to resolve my own problems. Yet God has not given up on me because he constantly tests my faith as a reminder that I am weak and cannot truly be happy and secure without him. This is a lesson that I am still learning, and I imagine God will continue to teach me throughout my life. And even over the past few years, some amazing things have happened in my life, but Satan has also brought many things into my life that have rattled my faith. And it's been very, very easy to leave God out of the picture or to not trust that he is big enough to deal with my problems. Yet as we read at the start, Jesus calls us. He says, "Let the little children come to me." We are those children. We are children of God. And so even though we may grow up, we may have families of our own, we are still his children, and we still need that faith that he has given us from the start. Whether you had that faith when you were a young child, or maybe you're new in the faith, you may be spiritual children. I want to encourage you, remember what that faith feels like and try to practice it every single day. Another quote that I found says, "Let us put away everything like distrust and want of faith in Jesus. Let us commence a life of simple childlike trust, not relying upon feeling, but upon faith. Do not dishonor Jesus by doubting his precious promises. He wants us to believe in him with unwavering faith." It's all too easy to read the same promises, the same verses in the Bible over and over and over again, and at times they feel like they lose their meaning. But that's the trick, isn't it? We cannot rely purely on our feelings. We have to trust regardless. So as our perfect example, Jesus too struggled in life, especially on the cross. But he continued to trust in God. And as a child with a father, he exercised childlike faith. As it says in the book of Desire of Ages, "Satan, with his fierce temptations, wrung the heart of Jesus. The Savior could not see through the portals of the tomb. Hope did not present to him his coming forth from the grave as a conqueror, or tell him of the Father's acceptance of his sacrifice." Too often we read about the story of Jesus and we forget the fact that he couldn't see. He couldn't see through that darkness of sin that had been put upon him. He could not even see his Father's acceptance of that sacrifice. Yet did that stop him? No. His whole life he had dedicated every single day to spending time with his Father. And even though, yes, he's the Savior of the world, right? He knew how dangerous it would to rely solely on himself. And so even in his deepest, darkest moments, he continued to trust. And praise the Lord, we know the end of that story. He is our Savior. Amen. He is resurrected, and Satan did not win. Amen. So you remember that in your deepest, darkest moments, or even just every moment of every day, God has the victory. And if you choose to trust him, he will give you the victory too. So my question is, why is it so important that we become childlike in our faith? Matthew 18:3 says that unless you are converted and become as little children, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven. That childlike faith is so important for our eternal salvation. Without it, we will not get to heaven. Because we need to have faith in Jesus, because he is the only one who can assure us of eternal life. So if we want to truly live for Jesus and have the assurance of eternal life, Jesus tells us that we must become as children, quick to trust, humble, and simple in our faith. Other than our own eternal life, God has also commanded us to go and to teach others how to have this simple faith. Exercise faith in God. How many there are who go through life under a cloud of condemnation? They do not believe God's word. They have no faith that he will do as he has said. Many who long to see others resting in the pardoning love of Christ do not rest in it for themselves. But how can they possibly leave lead others to show simple childlike faith in the Heavenly Father when they measure his love by their feelings. Our feelings are deceptive, and it's our feelings that often rule our hearts when we are in despair. But God asks us to put those things aside, to trust him. Because how can we go forth and teach the message of Jesus and how to have this childlike faith if we are not living it ourselves? So what do we do? Jesus says, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. God never changes, and his words and promises will never change. Our faith is the only thing that wavers. But we have a choice to either continue worrying and trusting ourselves to handle life's battles and stresses, or we stop and surrender, putting our trust and faith in Jesus 100%. Asking him to fight our battles before they even start. To learn to trust him with all our concerns and to ask for his help and guidance. To become children again and walk in faith that strengthens as we surrender to Jesus every day. And even in those times that we feel weak and doubt has overcome us, the Bible says, if our heart condemns us, God is greater than our heart and knows all things. So I encourage you to trust in the Lord with all your heart and to lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths. So I ask you, what will you choose today? Will you trust your life to Jesus as his child and reap the blessings of his promises? Jesus is calling you, calling you and I to become children again in our faith and to be converted. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much that we can trust in you. Lord, we pray that you will forgive us for relying on ourselves all too often. Forgive us for heeding the doubts and the lies of Satan. And forgive us for not turning to you. I pray, God, that as we go about our lives, as we approach the trials and the tests that come into our lives, I pray, God, that you will be our first call. We thank you, God, that you give us faith, that you grow our faith, because without you, we would be lost. So I do pray, God, that as you continue to lead and guide us, help us to have that childlike faith. Continue to nurture our relationships with you and help us, Lord, as a church, as your people, to go forth and to teach others of this faith as well. So that one day, Lord, when you come back very soon, that we will be able to rejoice with you in heaven, knowing that we trusted you above all else. We thank you, God, for this beautiful Sabbath day, and I pray that you bless the rest of this day wherever we go. In Jesus' name, amen.